In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, my beloved, today is a Sunday, Forgiveness Sunday, the last Sunday before the beginning of the Great Lent. Today we hear about asking forgiveness, and we forgive, and the Lord will forgive us. This is what the Church is teaching us. You know, so many times we look at the holy icons and we are oblivious of the presence of those who are depicted on the icons, and we have to try to remember that when we look at the icon of the Mother of God, that we have to believe that she is actually looking at us through the icon, and we are looking at her through the icon. And the same, of course, with our beloved Lord. The Lord is everything to us. He is our shelter. He is the sustainer of our life, and without Him, there is no life. And how awful we are that we have actually, keep on forgetting His presence. We are totally oblivious of His presence, yet He is everywhere present and fills all things. And of course, you know that today the Church is celebrating, remembering the terrible time that happened to Adam and Eve, that what they have done is they have really left the Lord's presence. They wanted to become as gods because they were tempted so by the evil one. Well, this is what happens to us all the time. We are always tempted to be leaving God, to be on our own. And this is the sin of pride. Who doesn't have the sin of pride? We all have to admit that we have the sin of pride. We feel like we are our own self. And whatever we do, and whatever we can accomplish, we all chalk it up to our own talents and abilities and so on, totally forgetting the words what the Lord said, without me you can do nothing. And totally forgetting His presence. You know, if you are standing before a king, or as today maybe a president and so on, you're going to be turning your back on Him, and you're going to be looking out in the window at other places, and instead of paying attention to Him. Well, of course you wouldn't do that. You would think that this is not polite, it's not the thing to do. But we're doing this to our Lord all the time, even when having the icon corner in our houses. And how many times we pass by without crossing ourselves, without saying a little prayer, without talking to the Lord, to the dear talkers, or to the saints that we may be depicted on our icon corner. My beloved, this is one of the things that we really should repent, that we are oblivious of God's presence most of the time. Oh yes, at times in the evening, in the morning, we may come to say our prayers in the morning, in the evening prayers, but most of the day we don't think about the Lord, and this is really not so good. This is not the way to go to make it to the heaven. So we have a wonderful chance now to start the Great Lent, and the Great Lent, which the services are becoming much more bigger size. There, the addition of the Psalter, and during the regular week throughout the year, except for the Pascha week, we're supposed to be reading the Psalter through the whole week, that the whole Psalter is being read through. But during the Lent time, it's twice a week that we read the whole Psalter. So let's try to do as much as we can to intensify our reading of the Psalter, our prayer life. Let's intensify our thoughts to be kept away from all the mundane things. But let's keep it all to think about our Lord and about the heavens, and how to get to make it to the kingdom, and beg the Lord to allow us and all our relatives and all those, our friends and all the people in the world, that the Lord will bring them into the kingdom of heaven. You know that the Lord doesn't want anybody to perish. He wants everybody to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. But what is the truth? The truth, my beloved, is Christ, is that Christ is the Son of God, the Creator of the whole universe, and that He loves us so that He came here and did what He said, the greatest thing, that to prove our love. He says there is no greater love than when somebody gives his life for his neighbor. And that's what He did. He gave His life for the life here on earth. He gave His life for us, to save us. You know, so many times we are saying that He was crucified on the orders of the Pilate, and by the will of the people, they shouted, "Crucify, crucify Him." And my beloved, what we have to realize, that we are also the culprits which caused our Lord to be crucified, because He taken up my sins, He taken up your sins, and every one of you sins the Lord had taken upon Himself, so that we will not have to be carrying that curse that was given to our forefathers, the first ones that had committed sin. Because the Lord said that surely you will die if you will break that commandment. But the problem is that they did break the commandment, but instead of falling down to the Lord and asking Him sincerely forgiveness, they have used excuses for their sins. The husband had blamed his wife, and the wife blamed the serpent. But in a sense, they all blamed the Lord for falling into the sin, and they had no repentance. And so the Lord chased them out. But at the same time, He gave them hope that He will send a Savior that will save them. And you know, all the Holy Fathers, the ancient Holy Fathers, the prophets, except for Elijah and Enoch, they all waited for the coming of the Messiah, even though they were placed together into the hell or Hades, whatever you may call it. They were not really tortured as the sinners, but they had to witness and to be there in the darkness and to witness the tortures of everybody. But they waited anxiously for the coming of the Lord. And you know, the greatest joy they had when Simon, taken the Lord in his hands on the 40th day, and he was the first one to tell them that the Lord already has come, and he had even held the Lord as a baby in his hands, and it gave a great joy for all of them that are waiting for the Messiah. And then John the prophet, and the forerunner, and the baptizer of Christ, and of many people, he came and he said that the Lord has come, and shortly He's going to come and free us all from this terrible place and bring us into the kingdom of heaven. What a great joy it was for everybody. What a great joy it is for us if we only learn to love our Lord. You know, my beloved, the Lord, so He's asking, all the laws that had been in the Old Testament, all the laws that the Lord had given to us through His Holy Church, it's all based on only one law of the love, to love God with all your heart and mind and soul, and to love thy neighbor as thyself. Well, can we do that? Well, without the Lord's help, we cannot do that. Can we get the supernatural help from the Lord, or the grace of God, if we continue to be proud? No, God resists the proud. So let us humble ourselves. That's why the Lord had given us every year that cleansing time of the 40 days of the great fasting. And of course the Passion Week and the preparations thereof, so that we will humble ourselves. We start the great fasting with the book which called Triodi, in the Lent of Triodi, and it starts off with the first week of how two people went to the churches. You remember, one was the Pharisee and one was the publican. And the Pharisee, he was proud of himself. He saw the good things he had done, that he kept him fasting twice a week, and he had taken and given one-tenth of whatever he would be getting. He would donate it to the church, and he was not like these fornicators and these drunkards, and all these started to count off, looking at other people, seeing other people's faults. And then he spots the publican. He says, "Not, and I'm not like that publican that stands over there." And the Lord said that he came out of church not justified as much as that publican did, who had cried out to the Lord, only, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And he would beat his chest because he had the emotion. He really felt that he was a great sinner. He didn't think that he was so good, and he didn't have the pride. He had that humility. And through that humility, he was able to get the grace of God, and they help to change, to start to become better, to fight off all those things that he knew he had to fight. Well, this is what we have to realize. We have to humble our hearts. We have to look at ourselves not as being better than somebody else, no matter how bad a neighbor may behave himself, or whoever it may be. But we always have to look at ourselves that we are actually worse. We don't know this man or this woman who is right in front of me. He may have fallen into a sin, but maybe a few seconds from now, he or she is going to have a full repentance and is going to ask God forgiveness, and God will forgive him or her. But if I don't fall down before the Lord, and if I start to continue to think that I am so good, or that I am better than anybody else, well, my beloved, if you are not going to get forgiveness, but we are going to be cast away from our Lord, and the Lord will say, "Go away from me. I never knew you, because you didn't have the humble and contrite heart that I had when I came on the earth, and I showed you that great humility, and I also begged you and said, be ye humble in your heart, and you will then receive then the peace. You find peace in your heart." Humility is, how is it tested? Well, of course, it's tested when your neighbor, whoever it may be a member of your family, your wife, your husband, your children or grandchildren, whatever it may be, or your grandparents or parents, they will stir up your heart with something. They will say something that will go against your grain, against your wishes, or against the way you think, and so on. And it stirs you up right away, that you get irritated and you judge them for thinking wrong or doing something wrong, and then you lash out at them with a fit of an anger. And when you do that, of course, you let yourself suffer so much, because the enemy allowed the enemy, or I allowed the enemy to walk into our heart and then use our tongue to spit bad things and to say bad things and to try to hurt in return, as if paying back for the evil that we thought we just got from our loved one. We're paying him back or her back with the evil. And this, of course, is not a spirit of humbleness and not a spirit of meekness in our heart when we do that. But this is the spirit of pride, that we couldn't take the offenses, we couldn't take somebody going against our grain, because who are you that he, you can tell me something, tell me open and behave like that in front of me or do that to me. Even if somebody slaps you in the face or spits on you literally, you and I, we have to remember they did all that to Christ, the Almighty God, the creator of all the universe. And so why shouldn't we accept that? But he never paid them back in evil. On the contrary, he asked the Father in heaven to please forgive them, but they do not know what they do. And of course his prayer is more powerful than any prayer at all, that he asked us, he asked forgiveness for us. So this is what we have to do, my beloved. We have to ask forgiveness of each other, and truly we have to forgive. Forgive and forget. But if you don't forget, and if you remember, then continue to forgive all the time. Then start to pray for those who have offended you. Start to pray your heart out that God will not punish them for the offense that they have done to you. Then you will start to show love. The little glimpse of love that the Lord had, how he prayed for us for crucifying him. My beloved, you and me have to learn the humility, to be humble, to be meek, because that's the way to the kingdom of heaven. We're not going to make it if we continue to be proud and get our nose up in the air or sit on a high horse and start looking down at people. That's not the way to the kingdom of heaven. That's the way to hell, and we don't want to go that place. And the Lord is teaching us through his church with wonderful, wonderful services that within every day that is coming, you will be able to be helped to go on that road of humility, to humble your heart, to become meek in your heart and humble, so that you will be able to receive the greatest gift from the Lord, which is his grace, through which you'll be able to truly, and I will be able to truly love our Lord with our heart and mind and soul, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. And first of all, of course, we'll learn that the love has to come first to our real self, which is the eternal self, which is the soul, which is going to live eternity, and not our body. But that body is nothing but temporary place where the soul is placed by the Lord when he keeps it. When he takes the soul away from our body, it is going to start falling apart, and it will be put into the grave, as you know. And unless the Lord has given us a special grace, as he does to so many saints, our body is going to be all turned into the earth eventually. And by the great power of the Lord, when the time will come, when his second coming will be, then he will resurrect us and give to our soul a new home, a new body. The body is going to be like Christ. It is going to be having any kind of sicknesses or sorrows, and not going to have the aging processes and none of those things that we experience here on earth, but there will be complete joy all the time, and then they will be able to finally see the Lord himself, and our guardian angel, and of course the Mother of God, and all the apostles, and all the saints, and all his creation. There will be an awe in all his creation, and even when we look at the creation, what he had done here on earth, as everybody loves flowers when you look at the flowers. Well, this is all going to be very only little glimpse of the beauty that the Lord has in store for us to view once he takes it to his kingdom. And whatever we experience here that may seem to be joyful and nice, well, it's all going to be very over there in the kingdom of heaven. It's all going to be looking like just a shadow of the real joy and the real experience of real love. My beloved, let's try to head for that kingdom of heaven. Let's try to really force ourselves to work harder on ourselves during this great Lent and to prepare our heart, to cleanse it from all those things that are keeping us away from the Lord, from this self-love, and turn our love towards God and towards our soul and to our neighbor truly, and forgive and to be forgiven by our Lord, and to meet the greatest joy of the glorious holiday of the resurrection of Christ, which is a foretaste of our resurrection. Amen.